I'd like to set at ease the whispering campaign that I saw whispering around through the audience that I brought my lunch. Really, really, that isn't my lunch, it's my breakfast. I, prior to the time I came in this evening, I looked over the church very closely, and I thought that if I'd be like the Apostle Paul and preach at least till midnight, if someone fell out the window, it wasn't high enough to kill him, so we'd be all right. I'm not really going to preach that long, so don't get frightened and leave yet. I'd like to thank my young brothers for the special that they sang this evening. Because that's part of the message that I have to bring to you tonight, that a man can't stand alone. And there is one who has the love and the power to help them stand and endure to the end. You know, it's important. It's really important that we take every advantage. And I mean every advantage that is ours as we meet here, as we travel across the country or the miles to meet during the reunions and one thing and another. It's important that we take advantage of the precious time that we have here one with another. You know, Louise McIndoo said something to somebody we were talking to, saying, well, the first time that I come to Grand Junction, Colorado to a reunion, why, I was just a little old tiny feller. And I don't know that I was always a little old tiny feller, but I was a lot littler than I am right at this particular time, and a lot younger. And I, like a lot of the young, sit in seats in the back row and in different places. And I saw faces and I heard voices. They no longer sit in our midst. I received strength and counsel from those who are not with us today. And so I feel like that when we're privileged to gather together with one another, it's essential that we take every opportunity to visit with one another. To take every opportunity to let the other person know that you love them. To take every opportunity that is afforded us to let them know that we believe that we must have one stand with us, and that we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we gather together here next year, there might be a face about us that wouldn't be here. And so today is the day, and this moment, as the seconds tick away, is the time for you and I to more earnestly and seriously apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to our life. This is the time that of dedication in your life and mine. I jotted down a few statements as I sat here in the different prayer services and one thing and another that touched me. One of them I'm going to refer back to that our brother John here was talking about, and it might not impress many of you who don't weld, but it impressed me because that's the way I make my living. And I know what happens when something isn't protected. Norman, when he stood and spoke and bore his testimony, he made the statement similar to this. He said, we shouldn't worry about what the Lord could do for us, but love Him. I want you to think closely on that statement. But love Him. There was a statement made, ain't God good to us? There was another statement made by our sister Alice. Says, our love of God is not just a one-time high. But it's a steady growth and an enduring to the end. That the love of God is not just a one-time high, just a one spurt in a person's life, but it is a steady growth and an enduring to the end. And you know, there's been many statements made as we went along here, whether we caught them all, and I didn't have my pencil out, I didn't get a chance to jot them all down, that was very pertinent for the very reason why we had gathered together. Here we're one with another. There was another statement made, and I'm going to refer to it at this time, and I'm going to talk somewhat on it. And that was a statement made by Marvin. And he says, lay hold mightily to the rod of iron. Lay hold mightily to the rod of iron was his statement. Last night, my brother Don McIndoo preached on Zion. I want to take up a little bit, and I'm not going to go over the scriptures that he covered, but I want you to begin to think tonight, what will be the cause of the establishment of Zion? It will be a dedication. Of the hearts of the children toward their God. It will be a dedication of service, a dedication of work, a dedication of love and compassion, not only to God, but to each and every individual that you come in contact with. It will be like we have heard somebody here this morning when they were talking about different things. They were talking about our brother being baptized. And you know, I made the statement that he become a new man and a new creature. And that's what this dedication requires. It requires those who have put on Christ to become a new man and a new creature. It requires of you and I a sanctification of our lives. It requires a sanctification of our lives, that God can use us as an instrument in His holy hand. It requires that. And I'd like to read a scripture where Christ was praying to His Father in the 17th chapter of St. John. And I'm going to begin, I'll begin probably in the 13th verse. He says, and now come I to thee, and the things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the word. Now I'm going to approach this word a little bit this evening, and we're going to verify what is the word. But Jesus is going to verify what is the word here very shortly, and what it means to you and I. He says, I have given them thy word. Now this is Christ praying to His Father. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I want you to know that if you are going to hold fast to the word, we're not going to be of the world. We just as well come to that understanding right now. If we hold fast to the word, we are not going to be of the world. We're going to have to set the world out of our life. Because we can't hold the world in one arm and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the other, because they don't combine. They don't go together any greater or any easier way than daylight and dark or salt water coming from a freshwater stream. They don't go together. One is a man that you heard him sing tonight about that love that a man doesn't have to stand on his own. And the other is a dog eat dog. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, he's not praying that the Lord would just come down and just pick you and I up and take us out of the world, but he says, I pray that you will protect them from evil, that God would set a shield about us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now listen, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I want you to take notice. He says, sanctify them. I want you to listen. Can you hear it? Can you hear your advocate, your mediator, your Savior whispering to the ears of your Father again tonight? Don't take them out of the world, but sanctify them. Sanctify them in thy word, for they are truth. Sanctify them. To sanctify us, that we can be an example that would glorify our Father which is in heaven. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. For our sake, Christ sanctified himself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That he sanctified himself, that you and I could be sanctified through the truth. You know, the scriptures tells us, over in Titus, he tells us sort of what the Lord would like to have us to be. Who here tonight would like to be a peculiar people? Now, see any hands? Would you like to be a peculiar people? I don't see any hands. Nobody wants to be peculiar, huh? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got to be a peculiar people. And don't kid yourself, you don't have to be. And we're living in the day and the time and the age that if we are those who are followers of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will automatically be peculiar to the nations of the world and those about us. We will automatically be a peculiar people because we stand on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to embrace the gospel of Christ and if we're going to be sanctified through that truth, we're going to be a peculiar people that's zealous in good works. Let me read it to you in Titus, the second chapter. Oh, the 11th verse. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know, in Norman's statement, when he made the statement, he says that we shouldn't worry about what God would give us, but that we should love him. You know, I'd like to carry that just a little farther. I feel like that we shouldn't always just set in our mind what God can do for us, but we should ask ourselves seriously, what can we do for God? What can we do for God? What is your life? What have you decided in your life tonight? Each one of you and myself, what have we decided tonight to do for God? How far does our allegiance go? To what point do we withdraw from giving our all? How ready and how prepared are we to give even the bare requirements that we might fully serve Him? You know, I'd like to go over now on page 45 in the Book of Mormon. And on page 45, this is the vision that we find when he saw the tree of life and the filthy waters and the rod going to the tree of life. And he's going to tell us what that rod is. And I'm going to start reading there on, in the 36th verse. He says, "What meaneth the tree which thou saw, which he saw? And he said unto them, It is a representation of the tree of life. And he said unto me, What meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to that tree? And he said unto them that it was the Word of God." That rod of iron that led to the tree of life was the Word of God. "And whosoever would hearken unto the Word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish." Whoa, did you hear that? That whosoever would hold on to the Word of God and hold fast unto it would never perish. Say, that's quite a promise, isn't it? "Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness to lead them away to destruction." Neither could the power of the adversary conquer them and cause their eyes to go blind and lead them away to destruction if they would hold fast unto the rod of iron, which is the Word of God. If they would hold fast to those things, if they would grip them with all their might, if they would recognize the need of it. I'd like to just perhaps go maybe to the need of it just a little bit. I'd like to take you to the 13th chapter of Hebrews quickly. And in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, he's speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the Word. Those things which were taught, those things that Jesus told them, "These things which are teacher not of me, but the Father which sent me." Those things that our brother quoted this morning, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Those things that they said unto them, he says, "The kingdom of heaven at his hand," and he went forth and preaching the gospel, and they said, "What strange doctrine is this that he's preaching?" Yet he preaches it with authority and with power. And that authority and power is unto the salvation of the souls of men. And yea, indeed, he had preached it with authority and power, yea, even the authority and power given him by his Father in heaven. The same right that we have to reach out and to preach and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ when God calls and set aside those who proclaim the heavenly message. The same right to be endowed by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost our brother Don talked about last night, that giveth, like Bob said, that giveth the utterance that allows a man to freely speak those things which are true and just and holy and beautiful and essential for the welfare of the souls. That power, that Word, that rod of iron, that stabilizing strength that if one holds fast to wherever they walk, whether it be in a congregation of the saints or wherever across the nations of the world, that he would not have to walk alone, just exactly like our young brothers sang tonight, but they could walk with a friend beside them. And that friend has the power to set a seal on those who are his, to those who publish peace and proclaim the day of the Lord and reach out and proclaim the repentance and the baptism, to proclaim the word unto salvation unto the nations of the world and to those about him and their neighbors and those at work or wherever we might be. The gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have entered into the waters of baptism is an obligation. It's an obligation that we take upon us. Just exactly like if we go down and buy something on time, we have an obligation to pay it off. When we take upon us the name of Christ, we take upon us an obligation to serve Him with all our strength, might, mind, and soul. We take on the obligation to look within ourselves and to cleanse our lives to the best of our ability, that we could be an example of righteousness, that our light would so shine that it would glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the responsibility we take upon us. And until we as a people begin to walk in the manner that's required, we have dimmed the light for the vision of the children of men to see the glorious gospel. It's when we work in love and compassion. It's when we work with love with another. It's when we're patient and gentle and kind and apply the fruits of the Spirit within our lives that the gospel of Jesus Christ shall flourish. When there is a people who have dedicated their life to the cause of righteousness, who have established within their heart the Word, who have set their feet on the rock and doesn't step off of it into the sand, that there'll be great would be the fall thereof. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in the 8th and the 9th verses, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about by divers and strange doctrines. I want you to know each one in this room tonight. You want a key to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The key that opens up the door to those things is that He is an unchanging God. And the very day that God changes, He ceases to be God, because no one of any authority can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because one will say that He changed this much, and another would say He changed this much, and another would say He changed this much, and when it changes, it's no longer the rod of iron nor security for the souls of the children of men. But Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, that we be not carried about by false wind and doctrine, nor deceived by the sleights of men and those who gather themselves together with those who have itchy ears to proclaim the wisdom and the understanding and the fallacies of those who teach by the wisdom of men. That's the purpose. That's the beginning of the key of the knowledge and the understanding of the gospel of Christ and the way into life, is that He changes not. And when He says, I found my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, we must know that indeed that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, founded a church. And He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we must know that the things that He has established therein, established by the rod of iron, that He says we must hold to so fastly, those things in which He has established, is for the welfare of our souls. It's for the uniting of your hearts and minds, and for the spiritual vision that you can begin to separate in your life and come to the knowledge of those things which are true and wholesome and just and taught by the Almighty God unto the children of men. It's the measuring stick by which we can measure the life of Christ and the teachings of God the Father and know that they're true. You know, James tells us, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren, for all good gifts come down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And yea, indeed, there isn't a shadow of turning. Not an ounce. Not one ounce. You know, I guess I'm going to have to break my breakfast open for you. I need some great, big, strong, healthy fella here. How about you, Mike? Can you come up here? Boy, look at there. He's smiling because he wanted me to bring Roger up, see? He wanted me to tell him at the beginning when I start to preach that I'm going to have Roger preach for me. See, now he's feeling bad, see? I'm going to tell you that that's an individual. That's an individual wandering. I want to see if you can break it in two. Well, he did, didn't he? Told you he was strong. You see how easy he snapped that? Okay, I'm going to fool him this time. I'm going to put some together. This is a group of individuals, like you and I, we'll say. Whoever there is in here, 75 people, There's a group of them. What can you do with that? Boy, I'm losing. Well, here's a little old puny guy. Looks like he suffered a loss. Thin and frail. Sin sick. Full of many burdens. Loaded with great care. Bends easy. Easy to snap. Easy to break. And tear to pieces in its frailness. But I'm going to cuffle it with a rod of iron, the word of God. Break it, brother. Won't do it, huh? Break it. I want you to know that the God that you and I worship and the one that we proclaim one to another and bear testimony to and pray to and talk about, he's the rod of iron. That's the word of God that sanctifies the souls of the children of men. That's that power that takes the sin sick heart and molds it from an old piece of looking stick to a tree mighty and strong that bears fruit for the souls of the children of men. That rod of iron that you don't bend and you don't mold it to fit the human mind and the wisdom of men. That rod of iron that goes straight to the tree of life. That rod of iron that if one holds too fast, that even the fiery darts of the adversary cannot conquer the individual that holds on to the word of God. That rod of iron that reaches out and touches and prepares the souls of the children of men that they might understand and know. That's the rod of iron that has to come forth. That's the rod of iron that has to be active in your life. That's the rod of iron that shall be active in our life and that we'll hold on to when Zion's established. It won't be the precepts of men and the wisdom of men or the desires and the frailties of the poor minds of the children of men, but it shall be the power and the word of sanctification by the strength and power of God. That's what's going to stabilize you and I and our frailties and our weaknesses. That's what's going to make the weak things strong. That's what's going to hold us. Is the word of God. When we lay hold of those things that we know that are true and turn not our backs to them, but hold fast unto them. You know, in Ephesians, I'd like to read a little bit in Ephesians for you here real quick. I'm going to read in the fourth chapter and I'm going to start in the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What for? He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what he gave them for. And they're supposed to be preaching the gospel of Christ. They're supposed to go out, those pastors, those teachers, those individuals that to go out and evangelists is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they preach the gospel of Christ, what is it? It's the word. It's the rod of iron. It's the way unto the tree of life. That's what it is. It's the very thing that Jesus taught when he says, and these things I teach, they're not of me, but the Father which sent me. But let's see what important it is. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every kind of doctrine and the sleights of men. That we're not carried about by a thought of Hugh Gates. No, we're not carried about just because Hugh Gates said so. We're not carried about by the thoughts and the doctrines of the sleights of men. but that we have a stabilizing power to go to be able to hold fast to a rod of iron and see the course that's set by God the Father for a man to walk. And know that when your feet are in that path, that it's sanctioned of God and it's not changed, not even by the greatest wisdom of men. And man has a lot of wisdom. Boy, we travel around the earth, we travel outside of the earth, and we walk men on the moon, and we return them back home. And we've traveled all over this nation and parts of the universe, and every ounce of it was created by the same individual that created you and I, the children of men. And every bit of it was created by the same one that gave us a rod of iron in the life, that gave us a way that we didn't have to guess and ponder on. He gave us a way that we didn't have to say, well, you know, I don't know whether I ought to sock that brother in the eye or not. Or I don't know whether I need to be baptized or not. Maybe the only thing I've got to do is just believe. He gave us a standard to go by. A standard that doesn't change. And with that standard, we begin to measure up to the stature of Christ in that standard. That we be not carried about by every wind and doctrine, by the sleights of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lied in wait to deceive. And don't think for one pleading second that across the nations of the earth and down at your schoolhouse and at your work and wherever you go, there are those things that are waiting and lying to deceive. To deceive you and I and turn us away, that we would be ready to turn loose of that rod of iron. To turn loose of the Word of God. To turn loose of the Word of God by the understanding of men. That wasn't inspired by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. You know, the Apostle Paul told him, he says, these things which I teach were not of me. He says, for I never learned them, neither was I taught them of men, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's where our understanding and our knowledge comes from. It comes from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And do you know that scriptures are revelation? Did you ever think about that for a minute? Where'd they come from? Aren't they revelation from God the Father unto the children of men to give them an understanding of what's required of them, what He wants them to do and what He doesn't want them to do? Isn't that the revelation that He was talking about in Ecclesiastes, the preacher, in the 12th chapter, when He says that the whole duty of man is to keep the commandments of God? That's the whole duty of man. Or wasn't it what he was talking about when Dick was preaching and he says, I want to show you the way to Christ? And then he quoted from an ancient brother named Joshua that said, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, as for my house I will serve the Lord. And the house that serves the Lord will be a peculiar people. They will be a peculiar people. And they will be zealous in good works. They'll be a peculiar people. If you hold fast to any kind of morals and understanding today, as far as the world's concerned, you're a peculiar people. Whoever thought of those things? My goodness. If you hold fast to any kind of teaching that stabilizes a heart and mind, today, in most cases, you're peculiar according to the rest of the world. And you know, we're going to have to be more peculiar all the time as the things in the world transpire and develop day by day, that's going to fulfill the prophecies that the Lord says shall not come back unto Him void. And I'll tell you what, we better be awake and alert and awake, because if you think those prophecies aren't being fulfilled and the preparedness of them, you better think again. If you think that giving away the Panama Canal and the fighting in El Salvador and the problems that's sweeping up on the Americas, the promised land, The land that the promise was given, that whatsoever nation or people shall possess this land shall worship the God of the land, even Jesus Christ, or when they ripen in iniquity, they shall be swept off the face thereof. Set your eyes on those promises given unto you and I by the power of God, and be awake and alert of the things that's coming about you, and seeing the development and fulfillment of that very promise, and the building of the hearts of the children of men towards the God and against the God and the Zion that our brother was talking about, where this nation is dwindling in unbelief and is ripening in iniquity. And that those who will hold fast to that God of the land, even Jesus Christ, will be a peculiar people. Will be a peculiar people. And we better not fool ourselves. There won't be a one of us hold fast. There won't be a one of us remain stable unless we hold fast to the rod of iron. For it is the word of God that sanctifies. And if we don't hold on to that, we are immediately in trouble. I'd like to take you over in the 17th chapter of Alma for a minute. And I'm going to read the old, I think it's about 441. I said I wasn't bringing my lunch, and I really didn't. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to read, and I'm going to start in the 65th verse. He says, "Now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them the everlasting hatred against iniquity." Sin and iniquity. Did you know in the first chapter of Hebrews, when the brother was writing there and he was speaking of God preaching and teaching and speaking to his son, he says, "Now, O God, even thy God hath anointed thee." And he anointed him why? He says, "Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." And you know, we're taught the same thing. We're taught that we're to love righteousness and hate iniquity. And that's just exactly iniquity. And what is he telling his son here, Helaman? He says that preach repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly at heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly at heart, for such shall find rest for their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. How many of their young here tonight? I could say, "Oh, remember my son," or "remember my daughters," or "my nieces," or "my lovely sisters and brothers," and learn wisdom in your youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And wheresoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the afflictions of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings. And he, who? The Lord. And he will direct thee for good. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings. And he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Did you hear what I said about our sister? She said it wasn't just a one high pot, and then that wasn't all, but it was a climb and a steady grind. And an enduring to the end. It's not just a one-time shot. Did you know that today, as our brother entered into the waters of baptism, excuse me, I've got to take this off, you're making me hot. Did you know that today, when our brother entered into the baptism, He was relieved of a load. On this hand, and pick up a load with this one. He was relieved of his sins and cleansed. And he picked up his cross with this one. And made a covenant with the Lord. I'll follow thee. He picked up the burdens of the hearts of the children of men. That when they weep, he weeps. That when they have joy, he has joy. The burden as an ambassador for Christ to further the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To testify of that rod of iron. To testify of the word that doesn't change. To testify that there's not even a shadow of turning. The Book of Mormon, in the 4th chapter of Mormon, tells us, he doesn't say a shadow of turning, he says not even a shadow of changing. Not even a shadow of changing. Do you realize what that's telling us? Those of you that can see, you see that shadow on the wall? Can you all see it? Can you see the shadow on the wall? See it moving? Don't fool yourself. I can move that 1/1,000,000,000th of an inch, and it's going to move 1/1,000,000,000th of an inch on that shadow. But the law of God shall stand forever. Not even a shadow of changing or a shadow of turning. That it shall stand for you and I to set our lives as a pattern to know what's required of us, to walk after that way. Yes, that we wouldn't be carried about by every wind and doctrine. You know, there was something that was really important, I felt, that was brought out today. I think it was today. About somebody looking at you. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing the finger. You know, I don't want us to take that lightly. And I'll tell you why I don't want us to take that lightly. Because as we study the scriptures and this word of God and the rod of iron, as we reach out into those things, and as we study them, we find out that after those who held on to the rod of iron and went and partook of the tree of life, the true love of God, because of a mocking finger of those who are not a peculiar people, but have followed the broad way, they had fallen away and were lost. Because they allowed the stare of the world, they allowed the mocking finger of the world to mock them away from Jesus Christ, to mock them away from the Word of God, to mock them away from their life with God the Father. Are we ready? Are we ready to be mocked? Are we ready to pull away? Or are we developing our strength to hold on to the rod of iron that the mocking finger and the gaze of the world is powered and sponsored by the adversary, that it have no power over us? Let's listen to what he says here. I'm reading on page 21. No, I'm going to read up. I'll start at the 69th verse. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Okay, now some of us might say, well, no, I can't imagine that. We really can't? How many of us have lacked in proclaiming the restored gospel of Jesus Christ in the Book of Mormon, the witness to all things? How many of us have lacked in proclaiming those things because we were ashamed? Or that because we didn't want to say anything because it might cause a little wrinkle in the water? How many of us have refrained to tell the people why we have the hope within us? Because we were afraid of the rebuttal. You know, Christ had lots of rebuttal, but nevertheless, he taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, my lovely brothers and sisters, the Scripture tells me the day shall come that this gospel shall be preached forth in all the nations before the end shall come. And I testify unto you, just exactly like all the other promises and prophecies that God has caused to be written, that prophecy shall be a reality. And no doubt there's probably some in this room who might be part of the recipients of the power of God to proclaim and to smite the earth with the power of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. But it shall go forth. And it will not go forth by those who are ashamed. It will not go forth by someone who is afraid to speak. It will not go forth by someone who are always trying to hold back and say, well, now, wait a minute, I don't want to offend that brother, and so I'm not going to tell him. And did Christ do that? No. He didn't come and say, well, now, I don't want to offend those people because, boy, they're under the law of Moses, you know, and the Greeks down there, they're worshiping their gods, and these people over there worshiping their gods, so I'm not going to preach in their synagogues. I'm not going to tell them that I'm going to turn the captive free, that I'm going to open up the prisons. I'm not going to tell them that they're hypocrites and vipers. No, I'm going to be frail and say, well, I better not say anything because they just might not like me. You know, the Church of Christ, from the time that I was a child, has been hesitant in telling people why they have the hope that's within them. The Church of Christ as a whole, not every individual, has been hesitant to tell people, I believe in the restored gospel, yea, even the Book of Mormon, that word of God that come up out of the dust is a witness to those things which are true that was written by the prophets of old in the Palestine area. I believe that in the mouth of two or three witnesses all the word shall be established, and it is the word of God and power unto salvation, the rod of iron to hold fast to, that drives the souls and the children of men in the direction of the tree of life. But we've said to ourselves, well, we better be careful here now, because if we tell them, they're not going to talk to us anymore. And you know that's true. That's true. So oftentimes when you tell somebody, really, that's not what the Book of Mormon teaches. I believe in the Book of Mormon, but you don't understand it because it really doesn't teach those things. And you see them just draw the curtain. But my lovely brothers and sisters, would you with me this night keep in mind that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God with power, invested in Him by God the Father, proclaimed with power and authority the gospel of Jesus Christ to the multitude, and they turned their back and walked away from Him. And He wept and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I have called you as a hen would gather her chicks, and ye would not. That means twice. No, that doesn't mean twice. There's people in this room that have chickens. Oh, an old hen just clucks and calls and scratches for a chicken all the day long. And so does God the Father to the souls of the children of men. But I've also watched the chickens in the barnyard, and some of them will run to the cluck and the warning of their mother, and some of them are a little braver, and they go out on their own. And those are the ones that the cats get. And you and I are no different than the chickens that Jesus is calling and scratching for. The very day that you and I feel that we'll stand on our own and go out on our own, that's the day that the teeth of the adversary, like a young lion, shall devour us. Who's all over the world seeking whom he can eat. That we can stand only and through and by Jesus Christ and the Word of the living God. Brothers and sisters, the world as a whole don't teach those things. I'm going to go further here. And I also cast my eyes around about, and I beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building, and it was full of people, with people, both old and young, both male and female. Who does that exclude here this night? He looked across the river, and there was that great big spacious building, and it was full of female and male, both old and young. Does that separate any of us here tonight? Does it say that those there's got the old white hair that don't cover them, or the little ones that are toddled, or the individuals here that are old enough at the age of accountability? And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. They were in the attitude of pointing the finger and mocking. They were in the attitude of pointing the finger and mocking to those who had held on to the rod of iron and went forth and partook of the fruit of life. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed. They were ashamed because of the multitudes of people. How many of us, and ordinarily, you just think about it, how many of us ordinarily, if we're just thrown in with a group of people, how strong are we? Are we usually strong enough to stand on our own and for the gospel of Christ's sake? Or do we yield under their enticings and under the mocking finger of the world? Do we yield unto that to say, hey man, if you don't do that, you won't ever be a man? Yeah? You know, people, the children of men, have a very good habit of yielding to the enticings of the world. That's what this is all about. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is here. That's why he restored it. That it would be taught in its pureness. That those things which were pertinent to the welfare of our soul would be taught with authority and with power and by those who believe. Did you ever try to teach something you don't believe? Try it sometime. Try to teach somebody something that you really don't believe in yourself and see how far along you get. But when you're really serious about teaching somebody something, is when you're full of it. And you believe it. And you believe that the thing that you're teaching is true, and you do bring it out to their influence, and they can see the excitement in you. They can see the joy in you. They can see it jumping. They can see it boiling over. They can see your cup runneth over. Because of the excitement that's yours. Because you're teaching those things that you believe. Yes, you know, in Matthew's in the 20th chapter, in the parable of those who the Lord had set out in the field for labor, you know, he went to them, and so oftentimes he could come to us the same way. And he said to him, he says, why stand ye here all day idle? Yes, he went to him, he says, why stand ye here all day idle? And they said, well, we have not been hired. But you know, my lovely brothers and sisters, I'm looking at a group of people tonight as the overall picture has been hired. We've been hired. We've been hired as children and as ambassadors of God to proclaim the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been hired. We've been hired as children of God to believe that that rod of iron is a way into the tree of life and to proclaim it with authority and with power in meekness and in humility and in love, but yet staunch for the truth. And I mean staunch for the truth. If I stand before you to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't have the right to put a soft pedal on you and lead you to believe that something's all right when it isn't. I don't have the right to be gentle with you because I don't want to hurt your feelings and take a chance of losing your soul. So we must be stern in the gospel of Christ. We must believe it. We must proclaim it. And we must proclaim it. And the scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God gives us a sound mind. And I believe it. My brother Bob was using an example the other night about Peter and John. And when Peter and John was proclaiming things at the time of the Pentecost, they said, well, they couldn't understand that. Here they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they marveled at their wisdom. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Does that tell us where the wisdom comes from? Does that tell us where we can learn from? It learns from God. It teaches us the way into life. You know, let me read a few scriptures here quickly. In the 14th chapter of Alma, 37th verse, this is where they were going to come against the anti-Nephi people who were converted, the Lamanites, who were converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ under Ammon and his brothers and the sons of Mosiah. And these brothers were so converted that they died rather than lay a sword against a brother. Because they said, we've cleaned our swords and polished them, and we will never again dirty them with the blood of our brother. And the king was telling them, don't do it. And they buried their arms. And he tells them this, starting in the 37th verse, and he says, and the great God has had mercy on us and made these things known unto us that we might not perish. Do you know I'm looking at a group of people tonight that great God has had mercy on us and has restored again the gospel of Jesus Christ for our understanding and edification that we might not perish? Yea, and he has made these things known unto us beforehand because he loveth our souls. Because he loveth our souls. Did you know that wherever you go, you had someone that loveth your soul? As well as he loveth our children. Therefore, in his mercy, he doth visit us by his angels, that the great plan of salvation might be known unto us, as well as unto the future generations. Oh, how beautiful, how merciful is our God. Oh, how merciful is our God. You know, we'd have to say tonight that he was an awful merciful God. Because there's not a one of us in this room that he hasn't showed long suffering with. Wherein so oft we've turned our backs and walked away from him. On page 407 in the Book of Mormon, in the 51st verse, and thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. Joy because of the light of Christ unto life. The diligence of teaching forth and proclaiming those things and going forth in the vineyard. Remember what my brother Don read last night out of the third book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon when he said, go ye out in my vineyard. And he didn't say, just go ye out in my vineyard and do whatever you feel like you like to do. And if you're tired, rest and find you a shade tree and get you a nice tall glass of tea and relax for a while. And then if you get the spurt and you feel like it, why, get up and give her a couple licks and then go back and relax again. And no, he says, go ye out in my vineyard, and he says, prune with all your might. And then there was a beautiful promise. And he says, and the Lord of the vineyard will go with you. Quite a promise, huh? that if you're going to prune with all your might, the Lord of the vineyard will go with you. Then this brother goes on and he says, that I were an angel. Would you like to be an angel? He says, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. El Salvador, Mexico, Central America. Do you think that there should be a cry out from those who know the promise of God upon this land, the land of promise? Do you think that we have a responsibility and a duty in the Lord to cry out to this nation to repent? Do you? I think so. So I'm going to cry out, repent. Boy, they heard it, didn't they? When we cry out repentance, we must cry out with a voice that can be heard. We must cry out with a voice that can be legible to a hungry soul, that can hear. We're going to have to, as a people of a body of Christ and members in particular, we're going to have to do away with the schism within the body. And then it's going to have to rise with the Lord of the vineyard and prune with all its might and proclaim unto this nation and the nations of the world, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's our work. That's the responsibility that we took upon us the day we entered into the waters of baptism. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with a trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul as the voice of thunder repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that they might that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. Remember what our brother Marvin was reading? Did you ever realize that there was nothing that separated them? That there was no problem, that they were partakers of the heavenly gifts, it tells us in the fourth chapter of the book of Nephi. That there was no murder, that there was no whoredom, that there was no robbers, that there wasn't any of those things. But they all dealt justly one with another. But behold, I am a man. And you know, you and I could say that. I'm a man. I can't do that. I'm no angel. Behold, I am a man, and do sin in my wish. For I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted me. You know, there's a lot of things that we have, and there's a lot of things that we don't have. But I really believe that we better be content with the things that the Lord has allotted us. And that doesn't mean that we should be content that we quit paddling our canoe towards righteousness and towards sanctification of our life. But that means that whatever it is that we can do to give to the Lord in the way of talents, whatever it is that He has for us to do, that we should use them to the best of our ability and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the form that He's given us. I take notice, and you see that when we come here in the morning, that the sisters are here playing the organ and the piano. Well, if you want to have a little bit of enlightenment, let me sit down and play it for you for a while. That's a talent that I don't have. That's a talent that they possess, to play harmony and music and hymns to their Father in heaven. That we must apply the talents and those things that God has allotted us and use them to the best of our ability. And if we do that, we'll begin to find that as we go along, He'll allot us with a little bit more to serve Him. He'll allow us with a little bit more each day to serve him. Yes, just like that old brother said, just like the testimony that came, that we heard, ain't God good to us? After the children of men had tampered even with the very word of God, in his goodness he brought forth a witness. In his goodness he brought forth a witness that again proclaimed the pureness of the gospel. Remember what our brother said last night? How that this gospel of Jesus Christ, he said how that many plain and precious things were taken away. And in the goodness of God, he restored the plain and precious things for our edification, that we could understand and believe. That we would know that even in the frailties like you and I, even in the littlest, old, tiniest, little, old, frail stick, the littlest, old, frail life, when it's coupled with a rod of iron, the Word of God, it can't be broken. That it holds fast. And that doesn't just mean in this room. That means wherever we're at, if we're holding on the rod of iron, they can't break us. You know, both the songs that were chosen by our sisters tonight covered the subject that I was going to preach on. Did you know that? Heavenly Father, we adore thee. At thy feet we humbly bow. Meant to worship, Lord, before thee. Grant us each a blessing now. Thou art gracious, Lord. Forgive us every wrong that we have done. Let no spirit false deceive us. Bid thy spirit make us one. In the name of Christ, our Savior, draw our minds from worldly care. Grant us each thy special favor. Hear our earnest, fervent prayer. Few in number. And I wouldn't say we're a multitude. Few in number. And I want you to take notice, if you was listening to what my brother was saying last night when he was reading from the book of Jacob. He said the Lord of the vineyard said to the servant, go ye out and get the servants. And he went out and got them and come back. And the Lord of the vineyard looked and he says, my goodness, they're few. But you know what they were? They were a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Those who held on to the rod of iron. Few in number, yet delighting in the truth which makes us free. May that truth, our hearts uniting, help us each to trust in thee. And my lovely brothers and sisters, a greater man than I, as an ancient brother said, whom I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes, cause it be written that the truth shall make you free. Yes. When we come blessed. And when we come as a people who have taken upon us by our own will responsibilities to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in contact with a responsibility to hold fast to the rod of iron and never let it go. My prayer is that as we gather together in the years to come, that we find ourselves with a greater zeal and desire burning within us to serve him. That we find ourselves, though there be change of faces, no doubt, yet God help us, that we'll rise up a people to serve him as he would allow and have. You know, he tells us this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and then the end shall come. And just like all the other prophecies, those things shall be fulfilled. Then I have to ask you and I have to ask myself, are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to be sanctified through the Word? For the Word is truth. I hope we're sanctified through the Word and become eager beavers, laborers for righteousness. Before we close, Brother Oldham has asked to be administered to. Jim Yates and Marvin, if you'd come forward. We might ask Don to lead us with a word of prayer before we get started. Don.
Thanksgiving to thee, O Lord, for the power of the gospel which has come forth in this latter day, with all its promises. Now, in humility, we come before thee, claiming and seeking one of these promises, that where there are those who are afflicted and who suffer, they should call for the elders, and the prayer of faith should raise them up. And so, Father, we pray for our brothers this night, that indeed thou wilt stretch forth thy mighty hand. And through the gift of thy Holy Spirit bringing with it the gift of healing and of blessing, that thou will raise them up whole and well and strong to serve thee to meet his responsibilities in life. We pray for those who shall administer to him, that indeed, Father, they might do so in the name and with the power of Jesus Christ. And we ask these things, Lord, not only that thy people should be blessed, but that thy name and thy glory and power and the truthfulness of thy word should be declared before the throne of men. So we ask it. And hope and temptation humbly. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.